All right, welcome back, everybody. We're diving into something pretty interesting today. The Book of Obadiah.
Ooh, Obadiah.
Yeah, I know, right? Not exactly the most well-known book in the Bible.
No, not really a chart topper.
But stick with us, because this one is packed with some seriously juicy stuff.
Juicy how?
We're talking like epic sibling rivalry that goes way beyond, you know, who gets the last cookie. We're talking nations at each other's throats. Plus, we've got prophecy, divine retribution.
I'm intrigued already.
Oh, and some really tricky moral questions that people are still grappling with today, all in this tiny little book.
Well, you've definitely got my attention. So where do we even begin with Obadiah?
Well, first, we got to know who we're dealing with, right? The Edomites.
The Edomites, right?
So these guys, they're the descendants of Esau.
Okay.
And Esau, you might remember him from the book of Genesis.
Vaguely remind me.
He was the twin brother of Jacob. And Jacob, well, he later became known as Israel.
Ah, yes, Israel. Now it's coming back.
So these twins, let's just say they didn't exactly have the best relationship.
Understatement of the century.
Right. Esau, he gets tricked out of his birthright by his sneaky brother.
Ooh, that's gotta hurt.
And that sets the stage for, like, centuries of bad blood between their descendants, the Edomites and the Israelites.
Wow. So this rivalry, it's been simmering for generations.
Oh, yeah. And that's where Obadiah comes in, right? Mm-hmm. He's not just dropping some random prophecy. He's channeling like generations of anger and resentment.
So what exactly is he saying?
Obadiah basically says that Edom, it's going to get wiped out. Divine punishment, you know?
Yeah, for what, though?
For all the bad stuff they did to Israel, but especially for just standing by and watching when Jerusalem was destroyed. They could have helped, but they didn't.
So kind of like adding insult to injury.
Exactly. And Obadiah, he doesn't hold back on the details. It's like a really vivid description of their destruction, fire and brimstone, the whole shebang.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah. And it makes you think, right? Like, is it really fair to punish an entire nation for what some people did? Collective punishment. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one, especially from our modern perspective, right? We tend to focus more on individual responsibility.
Right. Like, imagine applying that to, I don't know, like a modern corporation that did something really bad. Would we hold every single employee accountable?
Probably not. But back then, group identity was huge. Your fate was much more tied to your group.
So that kind of explains why this idea of collective punishment was more acceptable back then.
Yeah. It definitely gives us some context.
And speaking of things that might seem a little, well, outdated today.
Go on.
There's the whole divine retribution thing. Obadiah paints God as, well, pretty vengeful.
Yeah, that's a side of God we don't hear much about these days.
It can be kind of hard to reconcile that image with, you know, the God of love and forgiveness that a lot of people believe in today.
Right, and it raises the question, is this just Obadiah's personal take on God shaped by the, you know, the anxieties and beliefs of his time?
Or is it meant to be something more?
It's something to think about, for sure. How our view of God influences how we see the world.
And hey, while we're talking about things that might raise some eyebrows today.
Shoot.
Let's talk about prophecy itself.
Oh, you want to go there.
I mean, in our world today, with science and logic and all that, can we really say someone can predict the future?
Well, from a purely scientific standpoint, maybe not so much.
Right. So maybe instead of looking at prophecy as like a crystal ball that shows us exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, what if it's more like
like a mirror, reflecting the hopes and fears of the people who wrote it.
I like that, a mirror.
It's a way to understand their world, you know?
Yeah, and their concerns, their anxiety.
Instead of getting stuck on the, you know, the who, what, when of the prophecy.
We can focus on the why.
Exactly. Why was this written? What were they trying to say?
It's almost like, you know, instead of reading Obadiah as a history book, we're reading it as
a psychology book.
Yes, a psychology book. We're trying to get into the minds of the people behind the text.
And that's what's so cool about taking the secular approach, right? We're not saying that Obadiah is wrong or irrelevant.
No, not at all.
We're just looking at it from a different angle, with fresh eyes.
It's like putting on a new pair of glasses. Suddenly you see things you didn't before.
And it makes you think, what other texts, whether biblical or historical, could benefit from this kind of analysis?
Right. What other insights are waiting to be uncovered when we apply critical thinking to these ancient works?
So listeners, that's our challenge to you. Keep exploring, keep questioning, keep those minds sharp.
And most importantly, keep an open mind.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Until next time, happy reading, everyone.